Amen. John chapter number 20. Verse 11, page 14, 17 in your Scholar Canterbury. And here we go. We're going to find Jesus. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on the wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead.
Thank you, preacher. Great reading. How many seen the theme I saw? Yeah. Have you ever had an experience in your life when it seemed hopeless and you seemed helpless, but there was Jesus? Yeah. Seemingly showed up out of the blue. Oh, somebody help me. I'm about ready to get to preaching. I was going to give a lot on introduction, but I'm not now. This is what we call post-resurrection appearances. By the way, he's alive. Amen. Somebody help me. Let me say it again. He's alive. He had, at one time, 500 people saw him at one time. We know in these paragraphs, he appeared to one, he appeared to 10, he appeared to 11, and he appeared to 7. We know that. And we do know, it's amazing, the scripture. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I do want you people on live stream to share this because I want everybody to hear it. In the first paragraph, they wouldn't allow to touch him. But down on in the third paragraph, he said, go ahead and touch me. Something had to happen. Whoop! I want to give you four things that I see in these four paragraphs of scripture that all blend and thread together. And the theme is, there was Jesus. First of all, let's look at Mary Magdalene, the woman who had 7 devils in her that he cast out. Aren't you glad that when you got saved, the devil went out and Jesus came in? What? Hallelujah. Could you? She was the woman that went and with spices and prepared his body for the tomb. And now she came back to check on him. The stone was rolled away. She was looking everywhere for him. In her mind, he had been stolen and taken out of that grave and put in another grave. And there was 2 angels sitting in there. Could you see her? And said, she said, where'd they laid him? And she got all upset and all frustrated. How many? Number one, there's Jesus when I'm frustrated. How many's ever been frustrated? How many's ever wondered, where is God in this situation? Where is God right now? I'm in my mess. I'm having my trouble. I'm in my burden. Where is he? And when we think those kind of things, out of the blue, came Jesus. Woo! She was in her distress. There are people in this room, people listening on live stream. Right now in your life, you're distressed. You're discouraged. You're down. The Bible says she was weeping. And then he came and spoke to her. Came in behind her. Not only do I see distress, but I see a distortion. See, sometimes when you get frustrated, Brother Rich, You think things are one way when they're not one way. You see things in the wrong avenue when you get all upset and you get frustrated. You start seeing things that really are not true. By the way, 95% of the things you worry about never happen. And she turned, look at how distorted she was. She turned and looked at him. She thought it was the gardener. You know, there's a lot of times Jesus comes. We don't even know who he is. We think he's somebody else. But there ain't but one Jesus. They just one lamb, one lion of the tribe of Judah, one person that conquered death, hell, and the grave, and his name Jesus. And the Bible said it, that she knew not who it was. Somebody help me. Now, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things about this, and I really don't know the truth about all of it. Some people said, well, he was so beat up, she couldn't recognize him. I don't know. But I do know this. He started talking to her. See, I want all y'all to know something. Sometimes I don't know he's there. But you know, I remember the day that he spoke to me and saved my old wretched soul. And there's just something about his voice. And he said, he said, Mary. And she said, Rabbi, or Master. You know what happened? He revealed himself to her. I want you to know something. It'll be a happy day in your life when Jesus Christ is revealed to you. Somebody help me preach. Hey, if you're here and lost today, not saved today, you can't be saved on your own. It's got to come through a revelation. You got to see yourself lost. The Holy Ghost has got to do a work. But what you do, hallelujah, you need to say, Master! And I want you to know, now I'm really ready to shout. I want you to know. I know what you to know. You know what she wanted to do? She done heard his voice. Now she wanted to touch him. Hello. She wanted to grab a hold of him. And you know what he said to her? Uh-uh. Now, a lot of people have asked me, why in the world didn't he let, why would he let a doubter like Thomas touch him or attempt to touch him and wouldn't let this dear little woman touch him? Because there's something he had to do. You say, I don't know what he had to do. What he had to do, he had to take the blood up to the mercy seat. That every sinner, when they come to Jesus Christ, is washed in the blood. And he said, Mary, you can't touch me, but I got to fulfill the high priestly duty. I can't be touched, but I'm coming back soon. I'll be back then. You can touch me. And since that time, how many people in this room, he's touched your life? How many people in this room, he's moved on your life? How many people in this room experienced healing and help and hope? Yes, thank God, there was Jesus. Let's go to the second paragraph. Because I got to keep moving. In verses 19 through 23, he appears the first time here to the disciples. This time he appears to 10 of them. One of them wasn't there. You said, who wasn't there? Thomas wasn't there. The doubter. By the way, Thomas missed a lot when he wasn't there. I want to say this to people in live stream. People's let this virus scare them half to death. You're missing a lot. You're going to miss a service that'll help you. And by the way, your cup of coffee and your jam is not the same as what we felt in here this morning. Woo! Number two, look in the verse 19. They were behind closed doors. I like we been this virus. and were assembled for fear. I never thought we would let a bug scare us to death. I never thought that. But they were assembled for fear. Now their fear was that they were going to have their lives taken. Ours was much less. Somebody help me preach. And they were there in fear. How many of you listened to me on live stream, listened to me in this room? This last 10 months, 11 months, or maybe years, you've been living with fear. You've got a cloud over you. You're worried. You're fearful. Yeah, and the Bible said the doors were locked. And the doors were closed. And you say, what happened? I want you to know something. Don't ever let anybody tell you when all the doors seem closed that Jesus can't open and come in. Don't let anybody ever tell you that even though it looks black and even though the doors are closed, maybe it's a job you're looking for, maybe it's a healing, maybe your loss, it seems like all doors are closed, but I want you to know they may have been closed, but he showed up and he said, I am the door. Hallelujah. Don't need a door if he's the door. Somebody help me. Whoa! Let me give you three or four things here. By the way, when he showed up, verse 19, he said, peace be unto you. I got to tell all y'all, and I ain't trying to act super spiritual here. I'm not. But since March 15th last year when they shut us down, I ain't been afraid. He said, you ain't got enough sense to be afraid. No, I'm not afraid. I haven't run from this thing. Now I hope I don't get it and I hope I don't give it to you. But I ain't running from it. Here's why ain't you running from it? Because back there about that 10 months ago, as a Savior told me, especially in the first 2 months when I had to preach the pews, said, I'm with you. And he breathed peace on me. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know when the doors are closed and when you can't find no peace nowhere else, you can't find peace in your friends, you can't find peace in the media, you can't find peace in the government, you can't find peace in the White House, thank God for a Savior who can breathe peace on you. Whew. Am I preaching? Not only that, look at verse 22. Not only did he give them peace, but he gave them power. Whew. And when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whew. I want you to know something. I'm glad in my fear. I'm glad in my trouble. I'm glad in my distress. There is an omnipotent Savior. There's an all-powerful Savior that can breathe on me. The Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank God for the power. Power to save. Power to heal. Power to bless. Power to transform. I'm not talking about an anemic God, a weak God. I'm talking about when he is in your life, there's power. Oh, yeah. Oh, when I'm frustrated, there's Jesus. When I'm fearful, there's Jesus. They found peace. They found power. But they didn't know when we found out. They found purpose. He told them, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they retain. What he was telling them is, because you got the power of the Holy Ghost, and you are the commissioners of the gospel of Christ. Your Bible, your preaching will set people free. And forgive them. Aren't you glad? Chad, what we preach brings forgiveness. But not only does it bring forgiveness, what we preach brings judgment. Because I want to tell you, the same God will forgive you. If you reject him, your sins will be retained and you will be lost forever in a devil's hell. I mean, help me preach. When I'm fearful, there was Jesus. How many here online, you're a nervous wreck? I mean, I'm talking about a nervous wreck. Whew. I mean, I got people, I mean, and I understand. I got people, they're so scared. They said, would you please tell church members how to wear them face masks? God, if y'all don't know how to put them up on your nose, I ain't going to tell you how. Lord, have mercy. Don't bring a mask in if you ain't going to put it on right. Somebody help me preach. I hate you suckers. So I'm going to wear them right. Hello. By the way, a mask or a vaccine ain't going to help you near as much as Jesus. Woo! Let me give you number three. Look at verse 24 through 30 or 31. Not only there is Jesus in my frustrations, there was Jesus in my fear, but there was somebody absent, and his name was Thomas. And I can imagine, how many of y'all can imagine this? How many of y'all ever went to a delinquent church member and told them about a great service? And they looked at you like a calf looking at a new gate. They just didn't understand it. And they said, Thomas, we've seen him. He's real. He's alive. Hey, Thomas. And you know what Thomas said? What an idiot. You know what he said? I'll tell you what. I ain't going to believe him until I put my hand in his side. Until I put my hand, my finger into his hands. I ain't going to believe it. Now, homie, don't talk, be criticizing him too much. Because number three, there was Jesus in Thomas's folly. I want you to know something. I really believe I have a master's degree in what I'm getting ready to say. A lot of times I have said stupid stuff. You say, what size your shoe? Look here. How you like them socks? Yukonder. That's a 16 wide. Wide. And my toes at the end of it. And I want you all to know something. It fits here. It does. It really does. It fits here. I look back on some things I have said in my Christian experience. And I wonder why he even has one thing to do with me. When I was faithless, when I was fearful, when I was ignorant, yet, somebody help me, yet. You said, what did he do? Did he open a door? No. The doors were locked and he came through a wall. There was Jesus. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, how many times have we been so foolish and had so much folly about us as almost act like the sinners act? And there was Jesus. I have heard so much junk since March. And it's all folly. People said, I'll go to church. I'll catch it down there. But I seen them at Kohl's. Hey, they go to Outback. Hello? They go to Kroger's. They go to Walmart. But they don't catch it at Walmart. They only could catch it in church. And we ain't had one case in church. We haven't passed one virus around in church. We've been protected. Hello. What folly? How many ignorant things have you said in your life? And somebody ought to raise your hand and thank God, even in my folly, even in my ignorance, thank God there was Jesus. In my rebellion. You ever been rebellious? Come on now. Hey, some people right now, this virus has become a cat and mouse game. You all right? Oh, I ain't going to let the preacher put me on a get trip, get me to come. I'll defy him. You ain't defying me. You're defying God. I ain't going to let no preacher tell me I'm going to hell. You ain't defying me. You're rebelling against God. I ain't going to let no preacher tell me I'm in sin. You're not defying me. You're rebelling against God. But listen to me. Even in your folly, there was Jesus. Even when I make myself to look like an idiot, there was Jesus. Somebody ought to help me preach. Not only did I see a rebellion, I seen a revelation. Now, I want all y'all to know this. I don't think Thomas put his hand in his side. I don't think Thomas touched his hand at all. All I believe is that he saw it. Yeah? Because, see, Jesus said, blessed are they that see not yet believe. He saw it. He saw it. By the way, I saw it. By now faith. Thank God for the revelation. What Thomas said, he said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. You know what God is trying to do to us through all these circumstances we're going through? He's wanting us to give him glory. He's wanting us to lift him up. He's wanting us to tell everybody he's God. He's God. He's God. And I see the reception. Boy, oh boy. My Lord and my God. It'll be a happy day in your life. Not that you just are saved. Be a happy day in your life when he's your Lord. And he's your God. And he'll take you through anything you go through. It'll be a happy day in your life when you realize, hey, nobody can fix your problem but God. It'll be a happy day in your life when you realize you've got to live by faith and not sight. What have we done so far? There was Jesus when I'm frustrated. Oh, there was Jesus. Oh, there was Jesus when I'm fearful. There was Jesus in my folly. But look at the last paragraph in chapter 21. Jesus appeared to one, Lois. Then he appeared to 10. Then he appeared to 11. And even after he appeared to him. No, he did appear to him. They went out. And you know what Peter said? He said, I'm going to go fishing. And here's really what he was saying. I'm quitting ministry. I'm quitting on God. Ain't you seeing him? And I'm going fishing. And here's the bad thing about that attitude. Here's the bad thing about that attitude. Your attitude always takes somebody with you. Now, I've done a little study here. See, thank God there was Jesus in my frustration, my fears, my folly. But I want to name these guys to you. Simon Peter, he denied Christ, the denier. Thomas, the doubter. James and John, the desires, the ones that wanted to be on each side of Jesus in the kingdom. Nathaniel, the disputer. He disputed. He was the critic in the church. You know, every church got critics. You know, I remember a story. Dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. There's a church in South Georgia. Only in Georgia this could happen. A church in South Georgia. The pastor went to the deacon and said, we need carpet. Look how bad this carpet is. And they presented to the church. They came up with a collar, dark blue. And there were some people in the church that didn't like dark blue. They wanted light blue. And they threatened the preacher. They said, we're quitting. Shame on you for having dark blue carpet. You know what the preacher done? He got sick of that bunch. He called the carpet people in. Put a seam right down the middle. The dark bluer sit here and the light bluer sit there. I know a preacher that's building a church, and some of his members wanted to keep the pews. And some of them won seats. And he almost went and let them have pews on one side and seats in the other. Cuckoo, cuckoo puffs. Somebody help me preach. You said, what kind of crowd was this here? And by the way, there was two other disciples. You said, well, you call them. I call them the departers. They went and went fishing with him. How many people have departed from God since this pandemic? How many people have given up on God since all this mess? Amen. I'll tell you what they were. They were a bunch of failures. Wasn't it, Bill? They went out fishing all night and caught nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, how long are you going to be beating yourself? And how long are you going to keep it up failing in your ministry and your life and your lifestyle? Your lifestyle is failing you. How long are you going to do that? But I want to give y'all something that makes people like me happy. Even in their failures, they're with Jesus. You said, Pastor, have you ever failed on God? Yes. And before you condemn me, you have too. You failed God. They were all failures. But guess who showed up on the shore side? I want to give you three things here. Two or three anyway. Yeah, three. I want to show you the claim of his presence. He showed up. Now, how many of y'all would have been a little incited? It would incite you a little bit. If you showed up in a room and came through a wall and said peace to a bunch of people and gave them victory, and then they turned around and quit and went fishing. How many of you get upset? Now, I want you to know something. I want to tell you something. I'm not spiritual like Jesus. You know what I say? You ain't nothing but a rebel, outlaw, heathen. That ain't what he said. You know what he said? I'm about ready to shout here. Look, children. Sometimes I don't claim him, but thank God he always claims me. I'm glad when I got saved, he claimed me, and that claims forever. Amen. And listen to this. Not only the claim of his presence, he said, boys, get back out there and do it again. The command of his presence. Get back out there. Yeah. Now here's the tendency. Somebody fail you. You fail God. The tendency is, I won't trust nobody again. And I won't go forward again in my life. I have failed and they have failed. But you know what they've done, Jared Green? Even though they may not even believe it, went back out there. And he said, cast the net on the right side. And they threw it on the right side. And I'll tell you what happened. Man, oh man, the nets filled up to where they almost broke and sunk the ship. I want to tell you something. I'm amazed at a God that take my failures and then bless me like he does. See, I see the conquest. The ship was full of fish. And I like this. They came. Oh, I can't stand myself now. And they dumped them out. And they went, started counting them. You know what they found out? There's 153 fish. I didn't do this, didn't know this until I studied. At that time in the Sea of Galilee. Oh, I'm about ready to get loose here. There was 153 species of fish. I want you to know Jesus is good for everybody. And then at that time, there was 153 nations on this planet. I'm glad red and yellow, black and white. I'm glad the gospel is for everyone. And then the communion of his presence. Come and dine. How many of you have made it to Jesus and you're dining with him? Ain't nothing like communion with him. I want to give you a last thought. I know I'm running over a little bit, Jeff. Can't help it. How many of you? Would you do me a favor? I want you to meditate a little bit. How many of you can remember in your mess Jesus came? How many remember when you got saved? Raise your hand if you remember when you got saved. How many glad when you got saved there was Jesus? Amen. I remember when I surrendered to preach 6 months after I got saved. I had a desire to preach. I preached every night in my sleep. There was Jesus in my surrender. There have been some times when I needed him to take care of a situation or supply a need. There was Jesus. Let me give you a story. I'm trying to wind down, but most of you weren't here at the time. But at one time, there wasn't nothing here but a swamp. Wasn't nothing out there but swamp up until about halfway up, and then there was gravel parking lot. There was no building up there, no activity building. There was a little tiny building on the right. That's when I came. When I came, God blessed me. We built that activity building. Roger, you remember that. And that was $110,000. And we owed $50,000 on it. And I'll tell you, I was in a mess. We owed $50,000. We went to the bank because we wanted to build that other building. And they said, we'll loan you the money if you pay that debt off. And I did what every goofy preacher does. I put a thermometer up there and try to get pledges. That's a bad idea sometimes. Because I needed $50,000 and I had $10,000 worth of pledges. Bad. And, but we started raising the money. And we got to Thursday and we had till Friday, till Sunday to have the $50,000 raised. And we were $10,500 short. At that time, I had an office downstairs where the Awana office used to be. I was on my knees saying, God, I need you to take care of this because they're all going to think I'm a fool Sunday. And they're all going to make fun and mock. Would you please, I beg you to take care of this. I begged him. I wept. I was praying from about 9 to noon, weeping. And then the phone came and rung. And I answered it. And it was a place called Wheaton Securities. When you're poor, you don't know what Wheaton Securities is. So, Pastor, you've been given 110 shares of IBM stock. And I thought, you know, I'm a dummy. I said, would you please tell me what that means in cash? She said, if you cash it today, you get $10,000. I said, cash it. And I went to church. Now, how many of y'all think we were really shouting? And I called some of the men, called some of the trustees, called some of the deacons. You know what one lunatic trustee said to me, "You want to say it? Oh, you're $500 short. I just sold pop bottles for $500. You're $500 short." And then they took a Sunday school offering. And his partner came out to me and said, "Woo! We just got a $500 when Magnum Bank used to be Magnum Bank check certified. $500. And the Yahoo said, "But I don't know who it is." I said, "I don't care if it's a pump." But I looked in the door. And you know what I saw in the door? I saw a couple that had come to me 9 months before with a broken marriage. He worked at Volkswagen plant with a broken marriage. And I led them both to Christ. And they wanted to pay me money for leading them to Christ. Wanted to pay me money. I said, "I don't even want no money for that." But I said, "If you're ever in church, want to give a dollar, go ahead and give it. We're getting ready to build." You know what happened? They showed up at D-Day. How many of you know there's some D-Days in your life where you looked hopeless, but Jesus came and there was Jesus. Even in my failures, there was Jesus. Stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed. That brother that's going to be baptized, come on forward and let him take you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Josh, you go ahead and get ready. How many right now, you know that you're saved? You're 100% sure you're saved. Raise your hand if you know you're saved. Hold them up. How many right now say, "Preacher, I can't raise my hand for sure. I don't know I'm saved. But I know something's happening here. And God's here. And I want to be forgiven." If you don't know for sure you're saved but want to be, raise your hand and let me pray for you. Sip it up. I don't know, but I want to be. How many Christians, you feel like you're so frustrated? How many frustrated Christians are here? How many fearful Christians are here? How many Christians, you have said some ignorant stuff lately in your folly? And how many people here have failed? But here's God saying, "I still love you." How many people fit in that category? Just say, "Pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I'm a mess. I am a teetotal mess." Amen. Will you come today? In the midst of your mess, will you come? Just slip out. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you appear to these people. Online, God, I pray that you touch folks online that are frustrated, that are fearful. They're fearful. They'd be here if they wasn't fearful. They said some ignorant stuff folly. And Lord, they failed you. But God, show up there in their living room. Show up in their coffee room. Show up to that widow there in her bedroom that can't get out of the bed because her body is broken. Show up to that man and that woman that's fighting cancer. Show up to that brother that's got stomach cancer. Show up to that person who can't breathe because of their lung capacity. Show up to that person who's broke, who's lost their job. Show up! Show up! And Lord, give them hope. Lord, help them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you come?